Hello and welcome. I'm Laura Briggs with the Vegan Fitness Runner podcast, where I'll be talking all things running, health and fitness, and what it means to be an active vegan. My next guest is Lisa Marley, a popular vegan chef, nutrition coach, and pro-veg UK chef trainer. Lisa contributes for various publications, including Vegan Food and Living magazine, Stylist magazine, and all your favourite publications. Today we talk about our favourite vegan snacks for runners, delicious plant-based meals, cheese alternatives, and Delia Smith. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, lovely to be here.
Thanks so much for being here. Lisa, you are a plant-based / vegan chef. You cook some amazing recipes, which I watch avidly on Instagram and all your social media channels, and it makes my mouth water all the time. Can you tell me what got you into vegan and plant-based cooking?
Yes, and thank you, by the way. That's very kind of you. I love cooking, and I especially love eating, actually. So what got me into vegan cooking? Well, it took me a long time. So I trained as a pastry chef, and then I trained as a chef at a lovely cooking school in Devon called Ashburton. And yeah, then I went to Westminster Kingsway College and studied patisserie. So for many years, I was all about the dairy and cream and cake. And then, you know, I just started feeling uncomfortable over the years. And one of my really good friends, they as a family, they became vegan. And it was just like an uncomfortable feeling if I ate meat. So I became a vegetarian. Then I slowly cut out eggs, dairy, until I was, for all intents and purposes, vegan. But it was a slow process. And so, yeah, and so, and we got a dog as well. So I have my dog, Alfie. So as soon as we got Alfie, again, the kind of, to relate him to, would I ever eat him? Why do we find it okay to eat animals and not, you know, it was a multitude of things. And it's quite similar, I think, to a lot of people that go through that kind of transition.
That's interesting that when you got your dog as well, that really kind of strengthened your views on veganism. I've got two dogs. I certainly wouldn't eat them. And I find the idea of eating an animal absolutely abhorrent. Whereas, you know, I haven't always been vegan like yourself. So, you know, it once was the norm for me. Now I couldn't think of anything more horrific. And it's funny, isn't it, how our brain kind of rewires itself.
Yeah.
How do you feel now that you've gone vegan? Because you can obviously see from before to after. What's the changes in yourself?
Well, I mean, for a good year, I didn't actually, people say, well, do you feel different? And I didn't. And then, but now it's been years, I do definitely feel healthier. I feel more energy. I would say a lot of different factors. But one of the biggest factors is changing my diet. And I was speaking to a friend who's a psychotherapist, and she was talking about how what we eat directly correlates, that's the right word, to how we feel and our mental health. So yeah, all 360, I feel so much better, which is, you know, good news.
It really is good news. And from my perspective, and a lot of people that will be listening on this podcast, they'll be, you know, maybe into their fitness, or they may be a runner, they may be doing long distance runs and ultra marathons, things like that. So can you, as a chef, maybe explain how, you know, getting nutrition from a vegan diet is maybe a better way than perhaps eating meat or dairy based products?
Yeah. So putting the ethical reasons aside and just focusing on, you know, meat and dairy, a lot of the arguments from hardcore meat eaters and dairy eaters, dairy people that eat dairy rather, is the protein. And also, you know, we've been eating it for years, it's how we survive. Actually, you know, the most basic thing to say is, if look what they eat, look what the animals eat, they eat plants, and they're the strongest, you know, animals. So you get all your macro and micronutrients through the plants, and it's so much healthier, your cholesterol, everything. I mean, it's proven that it's better for your health. And if you're an athlete or if you're a runner or if you're into exercise, then getting your carbohydrates and proteins and fats from plant sources is actually so much better for you. It's like tofu, tempeh, lentils, chickpeas, quinoa. I mean, the list is endless. And I think it's more about educating people or yourself, because we kind of get stuck in our ways. But yeah, so I think it's all a myth that we don't get enough protein. In fact, in this country, people don't get enough fiber, and you can only get fiber from plants.
That's interesting. You know, you must hear it all the time as a vegan. Oh, but where do you get your protein from? It's kind of the go-to phrase that non-vegans use.
Yeah.
Towards a vegan, isn't it? Well, how on earth can you survive on a vegan diet? And you just use that example there of how you look at the animals and what they eat. And we've got this phrase, haven't we? Strong as an ox.
Yeah.
And then you look at an ox and you think, well, yeah, they eat grass, you know, they're not eating meat. So there has to be a way of us getting our protein, you know, far more easily than people actually take credit for. The whole issue of fiber as well, that's really interesting, isn't it? I sometimes find that with processed foods, my kids, for example, I worry that, oh gosh, they're not eating enough fiber. So getting the fruit and vegetables into them is really important. And that seems to be much easier on a vegan diet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And also, I just think naturally it's a healthier diet. Now, a lot of people just automatically jump on the defense of, oh, a vegan diet is really highly processed. Well, it's as highly processed as you want it to be, as any diet is. So yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of sometimes eating the kind of ready meats, the substitute meats, and you know, corn. And there's a million different brands out there. They're all pretty good. But even so, I think like for like, they are much healthier for the planet and for us, and everything in moderation. But the majority of my diet is plants and nuts and seeds and legumes and vegetables. And so, yeah, I feel that it's, again, down to educating yourself. And it seems like it's going to be more of an effort. Oh, it's going to be more of an effort. What do you eat? It must take ages peeling those carrots. And it really doesn't. And again, it's about mindset, because as you know, I train caterers up and down the country in plant-based cooking. And of course, they're cooking for people en masse. And some of the initial pushback that we get is, oh, it's going to take ages to peel a potato, you know, because they're quite used to using frozen stuff, which is actually fine. If you want to use frozen fruit and veg, that's still, you know, nutritionally dense. It's better than not having it. But yeah, it's about perception and kind of not breaking down those myths.
Do you think a lot of it is that with a plant-based vegan diet, you have to be maybe a little bit more creative? So the ingredients that I use certainly isn't perhaps what the average meat eater might think to use in their cooking. So you talked earlier about, you know, pulses, lentils, chickpeas, tempeh, which I hadn't even heard of before I became a vegan, I'm going to be honest, tofu. It's thinking maybe a little bit more outside the box, but these things are really readily available now, aren't they? And it is very easy to cook with these ingredients.
Yeah, I like to look at tofu, which is one of my favourite things to cook with. And people really struggle with it. But I just say to meat eaters, you know, that tofu is the chicken of the, you know, vegan world. And you don't have to be vegan or plant-based or vegetarian to enjoy tofu. Tofu's been around for thousands and thousands of years, but it's kind of been rebranded and there's so many different amazing types and they're bringing out so many fantastic ones. But extra firm tofu is my favorite because it's really high in protein. It's got the most protein out of all of the tofus. And it's what you do with it. You marinate it, you fry it, you grill it, you panne it, you panko it. You know, you chop it, stir fry. You treat it exactly as you would a fish or chicken, which again have, you know, chicken's got bland, isn't it? It's nothing sexy about chicken.
Yeah.
And but yeah, people are kind of all tofu, wouldn't know what to do with tofu. But yeah, again, it's just about practice, trying it out, trying what you like, trying things in restaurants as well, maybe going for the tofu option. Although to be honest, it's not readily available. And I think that will change in the future. I think it will be, there'll be more dishes, because even chefs, I think, are scared of cooking it, which is a shame.
That's interesting. You just compared tofu to chicken in one sense, you know, to say it is the chicken of the vegan world. I will give it one extra credit point to say that one thing you can do with tofu that you can't do with chicken is you can eat it raw, can't you? Some of them are very delicious, just in I love smoked firm tofu. Same. Just chopped it in slices and I just shovel it in because I'm greedy. what's your favourite way to cook it?
Oh, there's so many different ways. My lazy way is literally just to chop it up and whack it in a stir fry, or maybe with some noodles and putting some teriyaki sauce on it, you know, really quick and easy. But if I've got more time, then I make, I can do a really lovely katsu curry with it. So all fresh, you know, making the curry sauce from scratch. I mean, it really doesn't take long and it tastes just as good as the one from Wagamama's, in my opinion. I mean, I guess for me, because I work with food all the time, it's easy for me to go, I just whip it up. But, you know, so I always think back to my mum. Could my mum make it? Would my mum find it easy to make? And, yeah, I think she would, because it's just a really simple sauce. So I don't really like deep fried food. I don't mind shallow fried, but I bake most things anyway. So a nice crispy baked outside and a nice soft centre and a good sauce works for me every time.
You're making me hungry already. That sounds absolutely delicious. One thing you do have a talent for is when you're doing your videos online and you're making something, you know, that perhaps you wouldn't consider necessarily a traditional vegan a vegan food. Like, you've done ice creams and sundaes and brownies and all sorts of delicious looking things, which you might think, oh, you need eggs or you need butter. You literally do whip it up in front of my eyes. It looks so easy. It looks so quick. And that is the joy of a lot of your cooking, is that you can actually do it very simply and you can substitute the ingredients that, you know, like the eggs, like the butter. Do you find that there's anything that you struggle with to substitute for, you know, for a vegan meal? So, like, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, you know, what do you do if you don't have eggs? Eggs is quite a tricky one, isn't it? Is there anything that you find that you really struggle to recreate as a vegan dish?
I mean, I used to, but nowadays not really, but maybe it's just because I think differently. So eggs, if you want scrambled eggs, I use tofu. If you want an omelette, you can use a replacement such as Ogg's or Cracked. So they do one now that you just literally pour into the pan and you can add all your bits and pieces to it. For baking, I don't really use an egg replacement. I just use, to stabilize it, I use plant milk and apple cider vinegar. And I wouldn't say it was healthy, so don't get me wrong. My cakes are just as, say, like fattening and sugary as traditional cakes.
We don't want healthy cakes, honestly. Yeah, exactly. So we don't want healthy.
Yeah. So I just use, I just don't use eggs. I don't use eggs and dairy. And you wouldn't even know, I don't think, but it took me a long time to figure it out. It actually did take me ages because I was so used to, the way I was trained was so different. And I think the reason I keep things so basic when what I do online is because I'm basically cooking for what I'm going to have for dinner or what I'm going to eat. And really, I, you know, can't be bothered to be too faffy and take hours doing it. And I love watching those videos of really technical cooking, vegan cooking. And I'm sure I would enjoy doing it, but day to day, that's just not how I eat. So it being quick and simple is literally because I'm usually hungry and I just want to, and I think, oh, I'll film this and I'll put it out. So I'm glad that you like it, because that's really, you know, otherwise I'd be like out even more hours in the kitchen making films.
I can relate to those quick recipes because certainly if I'm doing some training or I want to take some snacks out on the road with me, I want it to be quick and easy and I need it to be quite high calorie stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever kind of cooked or advised, or can you give us any advice now on things that you can take out maybe on a training run, for example, that would be highly calorific but very quick to make? Is there anything, what kind of ideas can you give us?
So when you think of calorie dense foods, you normally think of like nuts and seeds and nut butters and dried fruit and avocado. And if you think of coconut oil to bind that all together, what comes to mind is usually like a bar or a little ball. I prefer doing a slab because then you can cut it up into slices and then you can just grab and go and you can make it all at once. So you can use oats and all those lovely nuts, as I was saying, and a nut butter and maybe some dried fruit, and then whack it, press it all down into a large baking tray and chill it in the fridge or even the freezer. Score it first, and then that's a really quick one, because what you're looking for really is, you know, high, as you said, high calorie energy bars or balls with whole food ingredients that you can make at home. So so that's what I would recommend for a really quick grab and go that you can pre-prepare. And also grains are great, and you can make like a quinoa pudding. But I mean, that's not so much for taking with you. You wouldn't want to take that out on a run. So my best advice would be to make energy balls or bars that relatively throw it all together. So no skill required, even if you have skill. I'm not saying don't have skill, but I'm just saying it doesn't take any skill. And they're really tasty. I mean, I love them. You can put cacao nibs in them. You can put cacao in if you want it chocolatey. So it feels like a treat, but it's actually really good for you. I mean, do you ever have protein drinks and smoothies?
Yeah, so I tend to, if I've done a long run, I'll come back and I'll have like a protein shake. And I've got, you know, I tend to buy like a pre-mixed protein shake, and then I'll throw in maybe like a banana and some plant milk and maybe some frozen berries as well. And I whiz that all up in my blender and I'll drink that. That's kind of my go-to, but, you know, any other ideas are greatly received.
Yeah, no, it must, because you're constantly, you want it to be quick. It's because of your time, you know, poor. But you want it to have all the benefits of the nutrients, I imagine, as well. And even if you don't do ultra running or running, it's good to have some little energy bars as treats. But obviously, you'd eat a little bit less because you're not the calories are quite high. And the smoothies are a really nice one, as you said, and also adding, you know, nut butters and oats and bananas, and maybe some hemp protein as well. And I've been working with a company called Nutrifarina, and they do pea protein, and they do some really, really lovely products. I'm not sure if that where you can get it, actually. I'll maybe try and find it and tell you, so you can maybe put it in the show notes. And that's a really lovely high protein meat replacement, but all natural. So it's not like highly processed or ultra processed, I should say. So yeah, I mean, diet obviously is super important, even if you aren't exercising, but especially important if you are. And I would say try and have like distribute your protein throughout the day as well, you know, to support your muscle recovery growth. So, but lots of people like fasting. So that's really, I've been educating myself on the benefits of fasting or just leaving bigger gaps in between eating. But I guess that for an athlete wouldn't work so well. I mean, do you ever fast?
Well, Lisa, this is a contentious issue for me because I love food far too much to ever even consider the idea of fasting. I try and listen to you know, a few sources before I kind of make my mind up on things. So yeah. I've heard quite a lot of hype about fasting. It's been going on for a while, hasn't it? There's been a lot of talk about it, and you know, in various diet industries and all the rest of it. And yeah, I get it. I actually recently heard, I was actually listening to a podcast quite recently, and they were talking about females in particular fasting and saying that although the idea works really well for males, it actually doesn't have the same effect on women. And that's kind of a lot to do with hormones and cycles and all the rest of it. And it's something I think that if I was to go into it, I think you have to really, really think about it. It's personally not for me. I love food far too much. I can see why a lot of people might be going down that road, and, you know, to each their own. I always say that you can't make somebody's mind up for them, and you can't tell somebody else what is right for them, because only you really know. But I prefer to stick to let's eat, but let's make that food healthy and let's make that food work for our body rather than against it. I'm more of that mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm the same. I did try, like, but when I say I tried it, it basically meant I wouldn't, instead of eating immediately the moment my eyes open, I left it an hour. And I was like, wow, look at me. I'm fasting.
Okay. I can, I can get on board with that. I could definitely go a few hours before breakfast. If that counts as fasting, then I think I've got that one nailed. So, yeah.
Well, just extending the time. I'm just, you know, I haven't really, my husband does it, you see, and he's really loves it. Whereas I'm like you, I find it a slightly more challenging because I'm constantly thinking about food. And I was just thinking, actually, another really lovely thing that you could try if you haven't already is making a homemade granola. Yes, it's high in sugar, but you're expending that energy and you can just put all the lovely toasted things in. I mean, I don't know if you toast your nuts, but whenever I use nuts in a recipe, if you toast them off or dry fry them, they just elevate them. Like instead of a waxy walnut, you're getting a lovely crunchy and it just tastes absolutely amazing. And then I try to use things like maple syrup or an agave nectar or a fruit syrup. Just, I've got a sweet tooth, can you tell? So yeah, or even instead of just using cinnamon, I'll use a ground sweet cinnamon, and all those things kind of lift it. I mean, do you have a sweet tooth or you're a more savory person?
I think I'm more of a savory person, but certainly when I'm out running, those bars that you've suggested sound amazing, and I would definitely make those. And what I love about your suggestions as well is currently we haven't had to cook anything bar toast a nut. And I think for most people, you know, that's a really simple skill to have to use, you know, in the world of cooking, to actually form something really delicious and high calorie and really beneficial to their exercising. So not everything that you make has to involve a lot of cooking, does it? Some things are really simple. You just have to think about the ingredients that you're using to create that piece of food, you know.
I mean, one of my favorite ingredients to use, apart from lentils, because I absolutely love lentils, is beans. All types of beans, black beans, cannellini beans. I mean, they're so good for you. I mean, talk about fiber, loads of protein, helps keep a healthy weight, really good, a great source of iron, magnesium, potassium. I mean, they're little powerhouses and they're really underrated. And you can just pad out so many different recipes. Whatever I'm making, I think, right, I'm going to add a tin of chickpeas to that. Right, I'm going to add a tin of butter beans to that. And just to blitz up some butter beans with some lemon juice, a little bit of garlic granules, maybe a little bit of tahini, sort of like a butter beany hummusy type dip, or spread on toast with some avocado on top. I mean, it's just so delicious. Some smoked paprika, and just really good for you as well. And I mean, carbohydrates, I would suggest if you aren't an avid baker and you're like, I can't, you know, I just don't want to bake, try making some soda bread. Soda bread doesn't need kneading. It doesn't need resting or proving. You literally just add your flours to a bowl, a little bit of melted plant butter. I sometimes add a little bit of like one tablespoon of dark treacle. You mix it all together with some plant milk. And it's like a wet dough. You can roughly shape it on a baking tray, whack it in the oven, and you've got a delicious fresh bread. And if you use like spelt flour, a mix of whole wheat flour and some grains in there as well, there's nothing better than eating some fresh bread with a lovely homemade spread on it.
God, that sounds so good. Once again, you've made me hungry. Do you know what? I actually haven't had breakfast this morning, talking about fasting. No, I'm technically fasting currently because it's still in the morning. Wow. We're recording this in the morning and I haven't eaten yet. So I'm going to put that down as a fast. And now you're talking about all this delicious food and it's making me want to go down there and just make some bread now.
I always think of
bread making as this really laborious kind of, job that takes hours and that, you know, you really need to set aside loads of time for. But the way you're explaining it to me actually makes it sound like you can do bread really very simply. Am I right?
Yeah, well, a soda bread, particularly a soda bread. And what you could do, you can also add chia seeds into it as well. So you've got your omega-3s, your fatty acids, fiber, protein, calcium, zinc. And it's just a really easy win. Muffins are good, but they take a little bit longer. So, but what I tend to do is if I'm going to make the effort of making a muffin, I will freeze, like if I make 10, I'll freeze 9 and then take them out the morning of, and within an hour it's defrosted. So it's just another really quick breakfast. I don't know if you can hear the seagulls. I live by the sea, so the microphone might be picking up.
Do you know, it sounds lovely. Yeah. I have to say, I feel like I'm on holiday as well. This is brilliant. Muffins sound great. I really like the sound of those. Can we talk about one particular food that most non-vegans, and you'll hear this a lot, say, but how can you live without cheese?
Yeah.
Everyone says to me, how do I live without cheese? And it's very simple. I just don't even even want to eat cheese anymore. But there are some really good now vegan alternatives. Do you make a lot of alternative vegan cheeses?
Do you know, it's one of the things I haven't been making and I haven't made, because they are so good, the ones you can buy, that I've just literally bought them, and they really have come such a long way in the past couple of years, because it did used to be a little bit not so brilliant. But what I tend to use to make something cheesy is nutritional yeast. So if I'm going to make like a cauliflower sauce or a bechamel sauce, you can add your nutritional yeast to it, which obviously has amazing benefits. It's got B12, which is something that obviously, as you well know, you need if you are vegan or plant-based. But I know you can make a really good like soft cheese from cashew, B12, a little bit of garlic powder, and then soak your cashews and then blitz it up. But I've just never done it, but I'm going to. Do you know what? You heard it here first. I'm going to start making some cheese. But I'm lucky because I get sent quite a few cheeses to try from like plant-based brands. And we tend to just always have a ton of it in the fridge. So, I mean, all cheese is high in fat. And sometimes, usually it's like either cashew-based or coconut oil-based. But however, it is delicious, so good. But it's, for me, do you know what? Cheese is more of like a Christmas thing.
Me too. Yeah, cheese board at Christmas, that's what you want.
Yeah.
I actually have, like you, I don't really make vegan cheese because, I don't know, I find maybe it's just much easier to buy it off the shelf and, perhaps a bit of a faff soaking cashews for however long or whatever. So I did buy a vegan cheese board this Christmas just gone, and it was a really nice treat. But you've said that you have a lot of brands sending you cheeses to try. Are there any that you could recommend to us?
Le Fromage, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is one of my favourite brands. They are the only cheesemonger. You can get them online in London. I don't live in London, but that's where they're based. But you can get them online, and I absolutely love their cheese. And I think it's called Honestly. Oh, I can't remember the name of the brand now. Honestly Tasty, I think. They're another really good cheese brand. I mean, there's about three or four really good ones. And then you've got obviously Applewood, which you can get in the supermarket, which is they do some really brilliant alternatives to cheddar, etc. But you were talking about soaking cashews. Do you know what I do? Instead of doing it overnight, I just do it for an hour with boiling water, and you get exactly the same result. So they soften, but like instead of having to do it overnight, which for some reason feels like an effort, oh, I've got to soak them overnight. Which
it does
makes
feel
no
like
sense.
An effort. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Okay, so let's forget that. Let's just boil water and put them in water for an hour then, and we get the same result.
Yeah, because soak cashews with some nutritional yeast, some lemon and some garlic powder and maybe some stock makes a amazing sauce, like a cheesy sauce, which is so delicious and can be added to so many things, including obviously cauliflower cheese. So yeah, so you're just making me think about the cashews now, because I think they're so versatile, and I make a really lovely cheesecake from cashews as well. I mean, it's definitely high in fat, but at least it's a good fat, a healthy fat.
Yeah. I mean, if the cashews can make it to the actual, you know, end result, that's a win in my house, because I think they're so delicious. I tend to just eat cashews, you know, by the packet. So they are a really delicious thing. You said there that, you know, a lot of these recipes that involve cashews, involve coconut oil, a lot of vegan sweet stuff, certainly, and the cheeses, the alternative cheeses, they're high in fat. But I think it's important to stress that, you know, vegans are allowed to eat fat and be unhealthy in the same way that non-vegans can. I love fast food as much as the next person, because for me it offers convenience. If I'm out with the kids and I just need something quickly, I'm not going to shun convenience food based on the fact that I'm a vegan. What's your view on kind of the fast food, you know, the vegan fast food scene now?
I just think that you get vilified, A, for saying you're vegan, and B, for if you want to eat junk food or fast food. It's like, well, I don't go around shaming people that eat McDonald's or KFC or whatever they want to eat, Pizza Hut or pizza, whatever. Like, you do you. I don't, you know, I'm really not bothered what you eat. Anyway, number one, that's my little rant. But number two, I'm like loving the options. I'm like absolutely loving all the different burger places, and I'm actually making it my mission to try as many as possible. No, I don't eat them every day. I don't even eat them every week. But if there's an opportunity, I'm definitely not going to turn it down. That's for sure. So that's my opinion.
It's good to know. Life's too short. Yeah, life's too short. And it's nice to, I love trying when there's a new vegan thing that comes out and you think, oh, yes, finally, yeah, we can eat this. So I'm all for trying the new kind of options. And at the end of the day, in my head, you know, if no animal has had to you know, die to be in that, you know, in that ingredient or the thing that you're eating, then why not try it? You know, it might taste good. It might just be nicer.
Exactly. It's all perception, and that's what it's kind of labels. That's why I get a little bit, yes, I'm plant-based or vegan, whatever you want to call me, but really I just like food like the next person, and we kind of get hung up on labels. And that's why if in a restaurant the best dish might be the vegetarian or the vegan dish, but the meat eaters, it sounds like I'm labeling them now, but people that eat meat might never go for that just because it says vegan, vegetarian. But they, you know, so I think trying to take away the labeling a little bit and just use symbols will really help everyone. Obviously, we are never going to eat the meat or fish dish, but it's pretty obvious when something's got meat and fish in it.
Absolutely. In a previous conversation that we've had, you had mentioned to me something really that I thought was a really poignant thing, actually, which is, you know, when meat eaters say to you, oh, well, why would you eat something that looks like meat? Why would you, if you don't eat meat, why would you want to eat a sausage that looks like a meat sausage? And you mentioned something to me about, well, you know, imagine if you're a child in school and all your friends are eating sausages and you don't want to eat meat, but you don't want to feel left out. And I think that's really important, isn't it? That actually there's a lot of these substitutes kind of just give you a bit of validation that you're not different to everybody else. You're not being, you know, pointed at or kind of, you know, labeled as the vegan in the room. You're still eating similar foods. And that's maybe why it's kind of, there is a place for making things look like meat in some respects.
I couldn't agree more. And also, no one wants to be the odd one out. And you don't want to be eating something vastly different from everyone else, especially if everyone's really enjoying what they're eating and you've got something that maybe doesn't quite live up to it. I mean, it's the same. Why do we have non-alcoholic beers, non-alcoholic wines, non-alcoholic gins? People who don't want to drink will choose a non-alcoholic gin and tonic because you just want to feel part of the gang. You want to have a really nice time. And in our culture, alcohol equates to having a good time. So it's the same thing. You don't want to be, oh, why aren't you drinking? Like, why aren't you eating meat? You just want to enjoy yourself without the questions. And also, why shouldn't you have something that looks like a sausage? That's not, you know, I don't think people eat the sausage because there's a pig in it. I think if they actually thought about it, that would put them off. They wouldn't go, yum, a pig, how amazing. We're so conditioned to, oh, a sausage sandwich, oh, a sausage bap and bacon for breakfast. that you're so disconnected to what it actually is that, yeah, so the shape and look of it really is what we've been sold in marketing.
So true.
And that, you know, has nothing to do with animals, unfortunately, because if there was more of a connection, there would be more people that wouldn't eat them, I think.
And that's so true, isn't it? Because actually a sausage doesn't look like a pig.
Yeah.
So why have you made your pig look like a sausage? You could argue that point, couldn't you? That actually the food that the meat eater's eating has actually looks nothing like the animal that they're eating. And yet, you know, so it's had to be, like you say, sanitized and packaged in a way that makes it apparently acceptable to eat it. Anyway, that's a whole other school of thought.
I know.
Before we got on this chat, Lisa, I'd said to you, I'd read something quite recently about one of your counterparts, Delia Smith, amazing chef, amazing. I've grown up with Delia, you know, in the early days before I was a vegan. I think it was the How to Boil an Egg book or something like that. She has recently come out saying that she doesn't agree with a vegan diet, which I thought was a really interesting and possibly inflammatory thing for a chef to say. How do you feel about that comment coming from her?
Disappointed, really, because everything she said wasn't based on evidence. Yes, she's entitled to her opinion, but it was certainly wasn't a factual-based opinion, because I think she said something about it's got nothing to do with climate change and vegans are worse for the climate. But I mean, it's just basically she's wrong. But I truly believe that she did it maybe because for the publicity or for the controversy or the fact that we're, you know, speaking about her now, because why else would you bash people that actually are being kinder to animals and the planet than meat eaters? And there's just no, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with the fact that if you don't eat animals, you're being kinder, you're kinder to them. So why would you pick on vegans to do that? It's almost like an easy bullying technique. And I have got a lot of respect for Delia Smith. I mean, what a career, amazing. But now she's like in her 80s. And I just think it's just didn't help anyone. Not her, who read that and thought, yeah, she's right. Well, maybe people do. Maybe I'm living a bubble that I don't realise that.
I think there are a few people out there that do quite enjoy vegan bashing. And I think maybe it's just a little bit of that. There's a few chefs historically that have said things about vegans or critics. I remember William Sitwell once said something about quite inflammatory about vegans/vegetarians.
And then he lost his job.
So yeah, it's kind of maybe comes with a cautionary tale that. But I was a bit disappointed because actually, you know, I value chefs in their own right, whether they're plant-based, vegan or other. And I think she's had a absolutely fantastic career. And it's disheartening to, and actually you feel when you've made that choice, not persecuted, that's far too strong a word, but you do take it as a bit of a personal slight, don't you, when somebody says, oh, actually, this is wrong, you shouldn't be doing this, because a lot of thought goes into the process of, for me, you know, personally, into going vegan. It's not just an overnight thing. It's something that, you know, does take effort. It takes massive lifestyle changes. And, you know, just to kind of cast them aside like that is a little bit insulting, I would say, to probably a lot of vegans.
Yeah, it really wasn't her finest moment. And I think she just said it off the cuff. And I genuinely think she said it just to be controversial.
Yeah.
Because, I just don't get why else you would do that.
Well, we hope for Delia's sake that she maybe, you know, reconsiders that statement and perhaps
having
a bad day. Maybe next week she'll be plant-based. You know, stranger things have
got a new book out.
Stranger things have happened. You don't just eat vegan, do you, Lisa? You kind of try and live a sustainable lifestyle at home as well. How does your diet kind of feed into your way of life?
Oh, very good. Well, you know, I just think about it more and more and more. And my thing at the moment that I've just been toying with and playing with is fast fashion, and what I'm, that uncomfortable feeling is there again. I'm like, I'm looking at my wardrobe and I'm just thinking, where did landfill, you know, who made this? Where does it come from? What impact is it having? So I have made a conscious decision to only buy secondhand clothes now, and also to only rent when I've got like a fancy do. Not that I get that many fancy do's, but if I am going somewhere special, then I rent my dresses or my outfit. And and the clothes I have, I'm going to really look after. And it's difficult for me because I look at like websites and I'm sold by the new, oh, the latest, oh, look at that, look at that. Oh, that looks lovely. Oh, doesn't she look good in that? And I want to, you know, oh, I want it. But I'm like, well, no, it's bigger than just that instant fix of feeling good and then thrown in my wardrobe. So also chemicals with, because it just, once you tap into it, you know, that you just think, right, well, you've got to go all in. Even chemicals down to what I clean the floor with. I'm just thinking everything. So I'm just using brands now that are kinder to the environment, especially like washing sheets that are delivered to the door in a paper packaging. So, yeah, I'm doing my best. I mean, I've got a long way to go for sure. But I'm definitely thinking about it as much as I can, trying to be plastic free. It's soft plastics just wind me up. Why does a cucumber have to be a vacuum? Sorry,
what's that? Yeah, vacuum packed, isn't it? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, why? Just things like that. Just I can't bear it anymore. I just cannot bear it. So yeah.
So you're doing a lot. What actually really interesting, you just picking up on the whole clothes and, you know, recycling, buying secondhand and renting your clothes situation. One of my recent guests on the podcast was Damien Hall. He's an ultra runner and he is absolutely climate activist. He, you know, reuses, recycles wherever he can. But he was talking to me really interestingly about the waste that we produce, not just as runners, but, you know, as consumers in general. And the statistic of something like we throw away 3 million pairs of trainers in the UK alone every single year. And that ends up in landfill because there's no way you can recycle trainers because of all the plastics and the toxic glues. It was something that really stuck with me. Oh, wow. He's written a really good book actually called We Can't Run Away From This, which I thoroughly recommend if you're interested in climate emergency and fast fashion and, you know, little things you can do. So that's really interesting that you touched on that point as well, because it certainly made me think now, hey, I'm not going to buy new stuff. Just go to the charity shop. I get some amazing stuff, as I'm sure you do, from the charity shops, and nobody would know. And you get a bargain as well, don't you?
Yeah, it's more original. It's kinder. It's cheaper. I mean, I sold about, this is how many I had, embarrassingly, but I had about 25 dresses, and I sold them all on eBay because I didn't want to, I did give some to the charity shop as well. So I did do a little bit of that as well. But I've been buying some more on eBay because I find that easier. Sometimes it's difficult for me to get out to the good charity shops because it's quite, you know, all the good stuff goes quite quickly. So I like to look online because it's convenient, and like late at night, I might just be scrolling through eBay. And I just think, there's a few websites now that, so Max Lamanna, who is a plant-based chef, he's really got a huge following on Instagram. His wife, and I've forgotten her name, but she does brilliant posts about greenwashing, about different brands that are, you know, doing terrible things for the planet. I would highly recommend having a look at her Instagram posts because this, and she actually was the one that made me start thinking, yeah, it's so true. I shouldn't be buying from big corporations and buying things that are cheap. So yeah, that's my new goal in life, to not buy anything new anymore. Clothes
wise. I love that. Yeah. And in buying off of eBay and selling off of eBay, you're kind of closing that loop, aren't you? And you're not being greenwashed by all these massive corporations that basically at the end of the day They're not doing their bit for the planet. What they're doing is they're trying to make more money out of us as consumers. And we fall for it every time, hook, line and sinker, because we feel that we need the next pair of shoes or the next dress. And it's just damaging our planet, and it's sapping its resources at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's so bad for you. And renting, I use Hire Street, I use Her, Girl Meets Dress, and it is so good. It's so much cheaper than buying dresses. You get to wear loads of different dresses and then send them back, so you don't have to, you know, invest in one particular dress and wear it again and again and again. So yeah, for me, I really enjoy it. I find it a great way to try new things without having to be part of the problem.
I love that. I'll have to write down some of those rental names from you, because that's definitely something, if I ever went out, you know, if I was ever not wearing running kit, then I might have a little look at them. No, that's all really amazing stuff. But I suppose we should move it a little bit back to the food, because that's where your passion and your kind of career is currently. You're doing heaps of stuff with your chefing. You advise, as you say, other professionals on how to cook plant-based, and you regularly are in columns in various newspapers giving us super recipe ideas. Can you maybe give us one of your top plant-based recipes of the moment?
Well, one of my favourite recipes is actually a school plates recipe. So you can download the brochure, the recipe brochure. It's got 35 plant-based recipes. If you go to ProVeg UK and go to the school plates, yep, it's free to download. So there is a recipe, and this isn't particularly healthy, but I tell you what, I've made it so many times. It's the brownie, and it's got beetroot in it and black beans. So there's some goodness in it, but it's a sticky chocolate gooey brownie. And if you want a treat, not saying you should have this every day, obviously, but if you want a treat, it's really easy to whip up, and it is a winner. And again, you can bake it, let it cool, slice it up and freeze it, so you don't have to eat it all at once. Or better eat it, it's going to go off. So no, you can definitely put it in the freezer. And so it's really simple to make. It's an all-in-one method, and you bake it in the oven. 25 minutes later, your house smells amazing. And it's a lovely chocolatey gooey treat, and the black beans replace the walnuts, and the beetroot gives it a richness and a sweetness. So yeah, that's my favourite recipe that I try not to have too many times. If you want something a bit more healthy, also in there is a beautiful mac and cheese made with the sauce is made with cauliflower and butter beans, and it is so good. It is fantastic. These recipes are all for school children, by the way, but it doesn't matter. They're just really good recipes that you can make, and they're economical. And so I would highly recommend you downloading the recipe brochure. It's completely free.
They sound amazing. Not just for school children, definitely for runners and everybody else in between. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What I'll do, Lisa, is we'll share the link in the notes for the podcast, so people can find out where to download those recipes, because they sound absolutely incredible. Right, you've managed to make me feel really hungry. I feel like my fasting session must now be coming to an end, because I just want to go and eat stuff now. But it's been absolutely a pleasure talking to you, Lisa. I've been kind of inspired now to go through my cupboards and look for all the different types of beans and pulses, and maybe go and buy some tempeh, which, you know, was one of the things I said I'd never heard of before. You're inspiring, you make amazing food, and everybody should go and check you out. Lisa Marley, you are an amazing chef, and we look forward to seeing your next plant-based recipes.
Thank you so much. You're incredibly kind, and it's been a pleasure to chat with you.
Speak to you soon, Lisa. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Vegan Fitness Runner is taking a bit of a break now for the summer, though I'll still be training like mad. I really hope you enjoyed the first series of my new podcast. Don't worry, I'll be back at the end of August ready for season 2 with some more fabulous guests. Until then, happy running!